on all things health, fitness, and mindset. Today's guest is with Magnus Ligback on how to eat and lift like the silver screen's biggest superheroes. Magnus is a celebrity trainer who has prepared and prepped some of the world's biggest movie stars for their superhero transformations on the big screen. Some of his clients include Gal Gadot for her role as Wonder Woman, Alicia Vikander for Lara Croft in Tomb Raider, James McAvoy for Glass, Ben Affleck for Batman, Alexander Skarsgård for Tarzan and the new movie, The Northman, which premieres April 22nd. And he also works with some top musicians such as Katy Perry and Dua Lipa, amongst others, to help keep them fit on stage. Today's podcast, we jump around when it comes to celebrity training, some of the things and protocols that Magnus will apply to transforming and doing extreme transformations with some of Hollywood's leading actors and actresses. So without further ado, I won't spend too much time on this. If you are similar to me, where you love and absolutely can get down the rabbit hole of YouTube and different channels when it comes to celebrity transformations, the nutrition they follow, the training they follow, and all the different approaches they take, you are going to love today's podcast. It gives an inside look into some of the approaches that Magnus will take. We also jump out so that we can apply some of those tools and some of those principles for those who aren't celebrities, such as myself, who aren't preparing for any movie role anytime soon, for those who are busy individuals, parents, etc. So we try and cover a lot in today's podcast, but we definitely use a 80% focus on the silver screen and the big screen and preparing people for those Hollywood movies and the approach that Magnus generally takes. So really interesting podcast. I love this one as someone who's a massive movie geek and has seen nearly all the movies that Magnus has worked on when it comes to transforming the superstars or movie stars for their roles. So without further ado, here is Hollywood trainer and nutritionist Magnus Ligback on how to eat and lift like the silver screen's biggest superheroes. Enjoy. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. I'm delighted to be joined today with my guest, Magnus Ligback. Magnus is a world-renowned Swedish health and wellness expert, entrepreneur, and lifestyle coach. For over 20 years, he has become known for working with some of the world's most recognizable actors, musicians, athletes, artists, and high-performance business entrepreneurs. Throughout his career, Magnus has developed the Magnus Method, a training philosophy that embraces the ethos of an athlete, approaching life and fitness with the same specific intensity and structure that an athlete would, whilst also maintaining a balanced and healthy life. His app, Magnus Method, has celebrity fitness training plans made for you. It's the exact program to use with the movie stars Gal Gadot for her role as Wonder Woman, Alicia Vikander for Tomb Raider, James McAvoy for Glass, Ben Affleck for Batman, Alex Skarsgård for Tarzan, and plans the musicians Katy Perry and Dua Lipa use to get fit. I'm looking forward to talking all things celebrity training, nutrition, and mindset in today's episode. Magnus, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
I'm so looking forward to this conversation, Magnus. I've been following your YouTube channel for ages, and I've since converted to your Instagram as well. So now I'm consuming everything because there's some great photos on there of Enzo, your dog, we were talking about just before we went on air. I know a lot of people listening to this podcast are dog people similar to me. But before we get into any of that, I want to talk about your backstory into fitness. We've got some great topics that we're going to cover today. We're going to talk about the Northman, the promotion and the training program and eating you did with Alexander Skarsgård. But before we get into any of that, talk to us a little bit about what got you into fitness.
Well, to be honest, Ryan, I've always been into fitness. I grew up being very active. My first memories is actually going to the gym with my father at the age of 3. I had my little, you know, gym bag with toys and, you know, got a soda every time I went with him to the gym. So training and fitness has always been a part of my life. I also played a lot of different sports growing up. So, and with you know, two parents that were also very physically active, it's always been a part of my life.
It's something that you've always been very passionate into and working, you know, as you said, going to the gym with your dad and building on that passion going forward. What led you then to LA? Because you're from Sweden originally and you've worked with some of the world's leading actors and musicians. And you're so, like, I'm obsessed with your YouTube channel when you're talking about the training programs, the nutritional plans that you're doing for people for movies. It's just the cycles that you bring them through. It's just incredible content. But How did you make that transition, or what? How did that come about when it came to your transition to LA?
First of all, I'm not adapted for the Scandinavian climate. So, you know, I always preferred palm trees and sun over snow and rain. I kind of felt like I couldn't take it much further back home. I had a successful career as a personal trainer and nutritionist. And I started working with a lot of artists back home, pop artists, and got the opportunity to work with some international pop stars as well. And I started realizing that no one was looking at these guys like they were athletes. So I started doing that, and I developed the method to work with pop artists in a more sport-specific way. If you're a football player, you know that you need 45 minutes on the pitch times two, and you need certain tools. So I knew that I needed to do something here. No one's looking at a pop artist like an athlete. You know, what do they need? They need 90 minutes on stage in 3.5 minute intervals, because that's the average pop song. And they need choreography, they need lung capacity. And so I started breaking down what they needed and developed a method to work, you know, to mimic that in our workouts. And then I started traveling with them, and I realized, holy, yeah, I'm not going to say that word.
You can say what you like on this podcast, Magnus. You're good. We're an open for podcast.
You're with them an hour and a day. And what about the rest of the day? Here they are, flying from time zone to time zone, hotel room to hotel room. There's no structure whatsoever when it comes to food and good habits, bad habits. And when you got a show at night, how do you physically and mentally prepare for it? What's the best workout you can do in the middle of a day to prepare for a show for 15,000 people at 8 p.m. at night? So I started really breaking down those things and developed my method. And that's a long answer to your very short and direct question. That was the beginning of my transition into moving over to LA.
I love it. And some of the content that you've put out and some of the transformations are absolutely incredible. It kind of gives me a nice little segue. And I was going to come back to this later, but I'll bring it up now because you talked about that structure. And I was watching your YouTube video with Alexander Skarsgård for Tarzan and how he was running, you know, 10 kilometers multiple times a week. And you had to change up his nutrition, change up his training for Tarzan. And then you got to work together again recently on The Northman, which premieres April 22nd. Talk to us a little bit about working together, either through Tarzan and through The Northman, and kind of how that, you know, how you took him from effectively A to Z when it comes to body transformation.
You mean for The Northman?
For The Northman, yeah.
Yes. So I had the opportunity to work with Alex 2016, I believe, for Tarzan. So the beauty of working with Alex again was that this time I knew how he would respond to different types of training and nutrition. I kept the log last time as well. I like to do that because we're all different. We all react differently to you know, different diets and different amounts of calories and macros. So I kind of had a really good head start this time. And this time we wanted to build a Viking, something that a guy who looked a little thicker than last time, a little more imposing. So yeah, that was the goal. And we, I think we pulled it off. When you guys see the movie, I think that you're going to approve.
He looks crazy. I've seen some of the photos that they were sent over, the promotional photos before we were talking. And yeah, it's incredible. Did you follow your normal protocol of build up, cut, maintenance for The Northman? I know that's a protocol that you normally use with people. Was it the same for this movie?
It was. It was a less of a diet cycle here. We wanted him to be a little heavier and thicker. And I was, since I knew him, I could dial it in much more nutrition-wise. So he wasn't too heavy. He didn't have too much body fat to lose. As you said, I normally have a build-up training cycle, nutrition cycle, then you have a cutting phase, and then you have maintenance, right, while you're filming. But I don't like to bulk up my actors or actresses too much and gain too much fat. the thing is, the better you do, the less you need to body fat you gain. So I was able to dial in that with Alex pretty well this time. So we did have a build-up phase, and then we had like a three-week diet cycle before filming.
Well, something that's very interesting, and I'm going to come back to this video. One of my favorite videos on your channel is how Alicia Vikander ate to become Laura Craft Tomb Raider. That's one of my favorite videos that you've done. But you talk in there, and I will double back because I know you put her on a little bit of a keto diet, so applying different things for different people. I know you're a big believer that all diets work. It's just finding what works for you. But something you said that was very interesting that I think people struggle with, you talked about maintenance being the hardest phase when a celebrity is shooting a movie. Why is the maintenance the most difficult compared to the building up or the cutting cycle?
Well, maintenance is definitely the hardest part. You see, you film a movie for 5 to 6 months. So for 5 to 6 months, you need to keep someone injury-free. You need to keep that low body fat that you just achieved while keeping a high muscle mass. That is really hard. Everyone who's been really lean knows that it's hard to stay lean, and it's hard to stay lean without getting injured. Especially if you're going through a marathon every day, which these physical movies are. So yeah, that's definitely the most challenging thing to do. Because here's the reality: when you're working on a movie like this, you are so physically active every day that for me to look at you and try to calculate how much energy you're spending in a day, and then try to dial that in and maintain eating the right amount of macros and calories every day, that is extremely hard.
Do you find it more difficult with your females compared to your male actors, or is it much of a muchness where you just make the adjustments based on them? Or do you find that because obviously there's different physiology and hormones, etc., play with the females?
It's both. It's more on the individual basis. If you have someone who's genetically gifted or have an easy time building muscle mass or keeping their body fat low, then it's easier. And sometimes it's really hard. So it depends on the individual more than the sex, I would say. Because I'm used to working with both females and males. Actually, I would say I work more with females than males. But it's a nice little split there.
When it comes to the nutritional element, then I know when you talk about this on your app and your channels, when it comes to kind of the general population, which is 99.9% of the podcast. With the nutrition, do you have any favorite kind of protocols that you like to apply? I know you do different things with different people, but when it comes to nutritional principles, I know you're a big fan of, say, 17 out of 20 rule. That's something that I associate with you. When it comes to nutrition, what do you like people, or how do you like them to approach it? Is it that 17 out of 20 rule? We can expand on that, or is it something else or a combination?
Yeah, that's my favorite. After doing it for 21 years and as a nutritionist and someone who loves food and good drinks, and I don't believe in food restriction. I don't like it. Food and wine or beer is a big part of life. Or I should say good food is a big part of life. A life without good food is a poor life. And you also make it really hard on yourself to restrict yourself from food. So that's why I like to control my macros, which there's always a relationship between macros and calories, right? You can dial in your macros and overeat calories or undereat calories. I truly believe in eating a food that you like. 17 out of 20 meals should be on point. 3 out of 20, enjoy life, eat whatever you want.
I love that. I think it's such a balanced and potentially healthy approach for people to have the best of all worlds. It's not too restrictive for people. When it comes to the difference between celebrities then and everyday people, again, I have no idea because this is your area of expertise, Magnus. Like, I'm a nutritionist as well, but don't work with the celebrities preparing for movies. So I'm really curious, would you apply or even consider that 17 out of 20 rule for people coming into movies in that maintenance phase, or is it a lot stricter because of the timeline for a movie?
Good question. I would say during a build-up phase, depending on who you work with, unfortunately, you take balance and throw it out the window when you have a short period of time to do these extreme transformations. But if needed, I will apply that to them. I think 17 out of 20 works for everyone. And I all my actors or all my clients here live by that rule, unless they want to follow something else. All diets are strategies, right? So most of my clients are following that 17 to 20 rule. Even when filming, when we film Northmen, for example, during the maintenance phase, Alex definitely ate by 17 to 20. 17 out of 20 rule.
Is that because he was leaner starting off and has that kind of faster metabolism?
Yes, and we weren't depending on him walking around with 4% body fat. I knew his body so well. We were so dialed in, and you know, after working with him for that many months, Tarzan and Northman, I knew that we would be okay doing that.
What kind of training split did you follow then for that? Because he is jacked for Northman.
I have the same philosophy with most of my clients. And for men, I like a four, you can call it a 4 or a 5 day split. It's really a 4 day split when you look at the strength part. 5 day split, if you take into consideration that you do some active recovery and mobility work, but you work through the whole body in 4 days. So we had a leg and a core day. We had a chest front side shoulder day, backside shoulders, outside shoulders one day, and arms on the fourth day. With that said, this time I always do high intensity interval training and core almost every session as well. So that's always a part of every session. But this time it was a lot of mobility and prepping shoulders. And, you know, the guys a little bit older this time compared to last time. And it's also, you know, swinging an axe, half of the movie. So we needed to make sure that he stayed injury-free and we prepped his shoulders. So some of those drills as well, or exercises were integrated into our strength.
And I'll link in the show notes, because you have some great examples of it on through the website and it's on the app and some third parties of samples. So I'll link those for people in the show notes. You can just take this very quickly, because I'll have females listening who are like, what about the female trainers? So just very kind of in terms of synopsis, what kind of split do you use with the females if you have that kind of 4 day split with the males?
It's a 3-4 day split for females. But it always depends on how many times per week you can go to the gym or work out. So that's where it starts. How many times per week can you spend on training? So, but I like a similar split for females. I tend to favor a push-pull day more with females, where for men, where, you know, men have over-dimensioned chest muscles. It's also something that people like for men to have a bigger chest, or we men like it too. So I like to do back and chest separate for men, and tend to favor push pull for women in the same day. That's a small difference.
Yeah. But it's a small difference that compounds very positively over the space of several months for people listening. One of my favorite interviews you did, it was one from the Business Insider, and I've gone through the GQ one and loads of them through your website. But the three components of a successful fitness regimen, according to Celebrity Loved Hollywood Trainer, is the name of the article. I'll link that in the description as well. Talk about the three components of a successful fitness regimen. I think that's a really useful one for people.
Yeah, I mean, I get on these podcasts and interviews because I work with these, you know, celebrities, and I do these extreme makeovers. But when training should be an integrated, normal part of your life. And I think it's important to take a step back and have your number 1, 2, 3 a part of your weekly programming. And what do I mean with number 1, 2, 3? Well, number 1 should be what you like to do. Number 2 is something your body needs. And number 3 is something you want to master or get better at. I think those three things should create your programming. That should create your week. That should be a part of your what you do to stay in shape and to develop. And that's important to me. So it's easy to look at what do I need to do to get in the best shape possible in the shortest time. I don't like to look at it that way. If you don't have to, make it a part of your life. Find that balance.
That gives me a really good segue, because that's a message that I've done, you know, nearly 500 podcasts on, that find the sustainable approach. Like there's a time and a place for an extreme approach, preparing for a movie, preparing for something. As long as you have an exit strategy, it's normally perfectly fine. And the celebrities, for people listening that are working with Magnus has an exit strategy for them so that they can go out of it and not have any major rebound out the other side. But you did a great video on YouTube. It was Celebrity Trainer Reacts to Strange Fitness Advice. But I'm curious, and I will link that for people because I do think it's worth it. Some TikTok stuff that I think is definitely worth checking out. But when you see some of the stuff on the internet, Magnus, is there any particular pet peeve, either training-wise or nutrition-wise, that irks you a little bit or that jumps to mind when you think misconception, that's not helpful for people?
Well, there's a lot of it. And I have to say, normally I try not to be negative or look, I try not to judge. We're all in this together. We're all trying to learn together. But yeah, there's a lot of crap out there. And I don't know what to say about it more than that. I think that people should do a little research where they get their info from, right?
Is there any particular nutritional fact? Because I spent a little bit of my time in LA. I lived in the Bay Area for quite a while. And the things that were popular nutrition and diet-wise would be different in Ireland and the UK to what was popular in California, and some of it not grounded in any sort of nutritional principles at all. Is there anything circulating at the minute that you think that, look, just steer away from this and maybe take a bit more of a holistic approach to the nutrition side in particular? Anything jump to mind?
You know what? I am not very good with keeping up with the trends. I'm kind of in my own bubble. Obviously, I try to always make sure to see what's out there. But I'm probably the wrong person to ask. All I can say is there's a lot of extreme stuff going on here in LA. And also, actually, a lot of the good trends starts here. So it's both good and bad. But you do see it pop up here before it pops up anywhere else.
I felt like it was been in a time machine. Like it was like stepping into the future when you get a trend in LA and then 2 years later, yeah, it'd be in Ireland and the UK.
Even it going to training convents, you see everything that's about to come. You can see it here. Group training, strength training, new types of machines, diets. And yeah, 9 times out of 10, it's absolutely, yeah, crap. But 1 out of 10, you know, they're onto something. And then a couple of years later, poop, it's everywhere. So you definitely have to, and it's the same with trainers in the city. 9 times out of 10, you can tell that this person doesn't really want to be a trainer. He wants to be an actor or an artist or something. This is a side gig. But 1 times out of 10, you see that quality because, you know, this is the mecca of training. So you do have a lot of smart, brilliant people that are really good that come here to you know, build a life and a career for themselves. So you have both for sure.
Exactly. As I said, Magnus, you've been a living example of that. Like it's so inspiring to see what you've done and the impact you're making to, I know, the celebrity world, but even outside of it, because your app and stuff is for everybody. Effectively, they can come in and get into incredible shape, and it's science-backed approach and these workouts that they can do themselves. And there's just so much there. And I love that you're doing that. So I just want to acknowledge it. But I want to, no problem. I want to flip it back onto the positive side. As someone who has so much knowledge, like I've done a deep dive, I've been following your stuff, as I said, for quite a while, but I did a deep dive in the lead in for the research for the podcast. So I am very curious to ask, from a positive standpoint, what's a really underrated, particularly fat loss tool? I think we have a large amount of people listening to this podcast where fat loss is a primary goal. What do you think is an underrated fat loss tool?
not to not be too hard on yourself and not go out too extreme. I think that's what that's where people fail every time. You go from 0 to 100. You go from not caring about your diet to being super strict and on points. And same thing with training. I think you need to approach it much more with balance. Implement good habits. Maybe not, you know, be so restrictive when it comes to your choice of food. And same thing with training. Don't start with 6 days a week all in. Maybe start with 3 times per week and you know, be kind to yourself. People are not kind to themselves. We're way too extreme and too hard on ourselves.
Why do you think people aren't kind to themselves? That's a really interesting point, particularly when it comes to body composition change. And I know we're both in the fitness industry, different areas of it. Why do you think
it's a part of the human nature, Ryan? And when you want to make a change in life, that means you might be in a place, you know, you might not be in a good place at the moment, or you know that you want to, a fitness journey or a physical journey probably starts because you're not there, right? You're not where you want to be. So it's easy to be hard on yourself then.
How do you find the people you're working with, the celebrities or otherwise, people coming through the app that you're connecting with potentially online? How much of it is impacted by mindset and the way that they approach it, as opposed to the tactics that you give them and the strategy that you give them?
I mean, it's key. My programming, I like my programming, but it's not the only way to get in shape. You can take 10 different trainers and get 10 different answers or different programmings, and they're all going to get you in better shape. It is consistency and that discipline and the mindset that's going to take you there. So if you don't have that, it's not going to work. And when I say mindset, it's important to know that we're not talking about motivation, walking up with your fists clenched every day. Motivation is pretty overrated. It's not about being super pumped and motivated all the time. It's about showing up. It's about consistency and holding yourself accountable. That is the key.
That's such an interesting point. I call it the myth of motivation, where people are relying on motivation to do something that actually is about consistency in daily habits.
You will fail every time if you depend on motivation, because you give me the person who's motivated every day and I'll give you a flying unicorn. No one's motivated all the time. And it's those days when you're not motivated, that's when you need to show up.
What's the kind of dialogue you would use with clients who are struggling for motivation? So pulling it back to the celebrities, as I said, I've given off a list of people from, you know, Alex to Ben Affleck to James McAvoy to Alicia Vikander. There's so many. Sometimes I think people could see a personal trainer as, right, you're the motivator. You motivate them. But as you said, you're with them for an hour in the day, couple of hours in the day for the training session and maybe other things. What is the process for getting those people motivated? Do you find that they don't struggle as much because there's a very specific goal compared to the average person? Or is it just that they're wired differently? That's where they are. What's been your experience with that?
I think give them results. Make sure that they look better and feel better as fast as you can. That will show them or lead them on their path. It's about that journey from darkness to light. It might sound like I'm exaggerating, but it is about making people feel better and also look better, but that's just a nice side effect. So if you can show them that, then the discipline and I don't want to use the word motivation. They will be more motivated, yes, but motivation comes and goes, as I said. So that's the key. I try to say to them what I said to you, that don't rely purely on motivation. It's awesome. It's great when you have that motivation, but it is about coming up with that structure, that plan that's optimized for you when we look at nutrition and training, and then just executing that plan that will get you results pretty quickly. And once you feel and you see the results, that will make you, you know, that will make you keep on going.
Yeah, results are addictive. I think it's underestimated how, when you're trying to rely on motivation, as we said, we're both saying the same thing. It's great when it comes, but it's not a strategy to rely on. But getting good results and small wins keeps that motivation level high. You mentioned training and sleep, and we've put a lot of focus, Magnus, on training and sleep, our training and nutrition, apologies. What's your thought on sleep then? As somebody that clearly has to work with people who are going to have condensed sleep windows potentially because of things that they're doing, what's your thought as a coach, a trainer, a personal trainer, nutritionist when it comes to sleep? Where do you think that falls on the spectrum of importance?
It is crucial. We die without sleep. That's a good conversation, or that's where it starts. If you don't sleep at all, after some time, you'll actually die. So it is pretty important. But yeah, we know that sleep and recovery is extremely important, just as important as training and nutrition. But sometimes you can't really affect that. If you're a mother with three kids, or a father with three kids, or one, and you sleep 4 hours a night, or you get waking up at three, it is what it is. You can't let that ruin everything else, right? It's just for a short period of time. Same thing if you work with an artist who are traveling from time zone to time zone in different countries. Yeah, you will be affected. And there's tools you can use. There's strategies you can use with nutrition and training when going through all that. I always adapt training and nutrition if I don't get enough sleep and recovery. But yeah, sleep is super important, but don't stress out if you're in a period of your life when you're not getting enough of it, because we're all going to go through that at some point.
Yeah, I had Nick Littlehales on the podcast. He used to be Cristiano Ronaldo's sleep coach. And he talks about phasing sleep in 90-minute cycles if you're struggling, where you're using effectively naps to catch up on sleep, which is a brilliant short term. I'm a father of one, but a brilliant short term for parents and people who are struggling to maybe get at the hacks in that will support you.
Yeah, there's a lot of hacks when it comes to sleep. And, you know, there's experts within that field. And I work with some of them and I've learned a lot. But yeah, overall, just fundamentally, I don't think that. So I assume a lot of people listening to this podcast will be, you know, fathers or mothers with small kids, or someone who's working too much. Don't stress about it. Make sure to come up with a strategy to change it if you can. But it's just, you know, it's all short term. As long as you want to make those changes, you will make them when you can. So, yeah, I wouldn't obsess about it.
I love
but
that.
Make that change if you can.
Yeah, it's taking that pressure off yourself, I think, is so important, and allowing yourself to take the pressure off, that self-imposed pressure. A story that I want to bring on, which definitely connected with me. It's funny. You were talking about letting go with I think it was Alicia, if I'm not mistaken, you can correct me, Magnus, the video on it with Alicia Vikander on Becoming Laura Craft, she had to go into the jungle, if I'm not mistaken, and you weren't able to work with her and you had to put her on a different approach, a keto diet, etc. What was that? I'll choose my words carefully. I think most difficult movie to work on with somebody based on the conditions, was it Laura Craft Tomb Raider? Or was it another movie when it comes to the conditions and trying to get them in shape for it?
Well, every movie has its challenges. And you see, when I get these jobs, right, I don't know who I'm getting thrown in with. I don't know how genetically gifted they are. I don't know their work ethic. I don't know if they come in with existing injuries or they're prone to injuries. You don't know anything, but you're expected to get them in super shape in X amount of months. So I would say every single project has its challenges, but I think one of the most extreme ones that I've done is with Mark Ruffalo for a TV show, an HBO show called I Know This Much True, when Mark is playing twins. And we had, can't remember how many weeks we had. We had 8 weeks maybe to try to get him to gain 40 pounds. And that was craziness. I mean, that was extremely hard, but we came up with the idea. I told him that why not have him lose 20 pounds before he's playing character number one, and then gain another 40 on top of that, which is just another 20 on top of his normal weight. So we actually pulled it off, and I think it was 6 or 8 weeks. I can't remember, but that was probably the most difficult project I've been on, more challenging, because that is a lot of weight in a short time, up and down.
I can only imagine what that process looked like. Magnus, I know you're going to be short for time because you're literally going back to back with podcasts today. So I just have a couple more questions. I know, as I mentioned, The Northman premieres April 22nd. Big, big project that you were working on yourself, Alexander Skarsgård. And as I said, for those who haven't seen the before and after, it's ridiculous. It's crazy. One of those extreme transformations. And I think a testament to your work and obviously all the effort he put in and the work ethic, etc. But with that, you're doing a lot of different things. As I said, your online content, YouTube channel in particular, some fantastic stuff on there. Instagram is what I'm following too. And your app, Magnus Method, has great programs on there for people. And anyone that wants to follow what some of the celebrities are doing, I'll put the link in the description and they can go through and they can check it out. But with all the things you're doing at the minute, and it might be movie related, it might be The Northman, it might be something else, what are you most excited about right now?
Well, I always like to do many things. And right now working, I'm a founder of a wine company called Unsweet. So I'm working a lot with that. We are making zero sugar wines. So we have a red and a white and a cava. Yeah, it's going really great. But we have, you know, we started this wine company with zero sugar wines, and that's something I'm super excited about. And then I'm also in the middle of the process of making my own supplements. I have two products that I will launch within 2 months. I want to make something different that has the highest quality and that I can stand behind. So that's another exciting thing that I'm working on.
I want to piggyback on that because you give me a nice little segue before we wrap it up. Supplements, because we haven't touched. We touched on nutrition, we touched on training, we touched on sleep, we touched on mindset to a degree. Talk about supplementation and its importance.
Well, you know, if your diet's on point, you don't necessarily need a lot of supplements. I love a good protein powder because it's a nice way when you don't feel like eating, or if you're on the go, it's a convenient way of getting a controlled amount of protein powder. Oh, sorry, protein. Same with vitamins. You know, I'm a big fan of certain vitamins, like big dose of vitamin C, vitamin B12, which is a water soluble. But with that said, it doesn't start with the supplementation, doesn't start with the vitamins. But if you're doing everything right, I think there's room for some supplementation as well.
The final 5% for sure. The 95 is your nutrition, your training, your sleep, everything else, and then the final 5%. With the supplements, do you have any pre-links that you're going to be giving or telling people about? Or is that something that just stay tuned on your YouTube, Instagram, and you put them all out when they're ready?
Well, I'll promote them on my app and my website once everything's ready. But we're maybe 6 weeks away from having everything ready. So then my two first products will launch. And
That's exciting. And we're recording this a little bit early just to kind of coincide it with the release of The Northman. So it'll be even closer. So for those who are listening, I highly recommend you go and follow Magnus, check out his Instagram, check out the app, check out his YouTube channel. Magnus, I've really enjoyed this conversation. As I said, I love what you're doing. I think the YouTube channel in particular, you've such a great approach. That ability to go extreme with celebrity clients who need to get there mixed with define what's healthy and sustainable for you, for the average person. I think that blend is just so refreshing in the fitness industry. So kudos to you for that. For everybody listening, is that the best place for them to follow you? Is it through the app, through Instagram, through YouTube? Is there any other links you want to give? Please give those now.
Those three are three good links.
Amazing. And for everybody listening, I will put them in the links on brankeenfitness.com. They will also be in the link for the description for today's podcast. And as we mentioned, The Northman is out April 22nd. Go check out the incredible work Magnus has done with Alexander to get him in shape for that movie. Highly recommend it. Looking forward to watching it myself. Magnus, keep doing what you're doing. And thank you so much again.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you have it, Hollywood trainer and nutritionist Magnus Ligback on how to eat and lift like the silver screen's biggest superheroes. Fascinating conversation, a little bit of a deep dive or a little bit of a dive into what some of the well-known celebrities are doing to transform their physiques when it comes to their eating regimen, their training regimen before a Hollywood blockbuster movie. So as someone who is a self-proclaimed movie geek, I absolutely love movies. I loved that we got to connect on this podcast, and we'll hopefully do a round two at some point where we'll go deep on a specific plan, program, and nutritional strategy when it comes to preparing somebody for a movie. So looking forward to that, hopefully in the future. As always, if you enjoyed today's podcast, take a screenshot, pop it up on your Instagram stories. You can tag my Instagram, Brian_Keen_fitness, and you can tag Magnus Ligback on Instagram also. That's all from this week's podcast. Catch you all next Monday.